Passover. Passover will be observed on Sunday evening, April 21. First day of unleavened bread on Tuesday, April 23. And then the last day will be on Monday, April 29. But of course, as you all know, the first day of unleavened bread begins at sunset on Monday, April 21, with the night to be much observed. Sometimes it's referred to as the night to be remembered. In German, it's actually called die Nacht des Wachens, which means the night of being awake or the night of watching. Another interesting terminology, that's how the German Bibles translate that phrase. It's a memorial. It's a memorial thinking of Israel leaving Egypt that night. And God said that we are to keep this as a memorial. So it's not appropriate not keeping it. I'm raising this because we had some questions which came up now in Germany, especially for younger people, newer people in the church. And so it had to be explained, this is a commanded occasion. Now, it's not an assembly in the sense that we have a sermon there and a service, but it's still something which is commanded, which means it should be observed. Now, originally, of course, we would get together two or three families at a household, and they would observe it that way as a meal. And the meal shouldn't start, by the way, until after sunset. But then, of course, in Germany in particular, and that was already the case when I was coming to the church in Germany many, many, many years ago, that we actually would get together, the entire church would, and we would keep it together in a restaurant. And when it comes to the Church of the Eternal God, that's what we have been doing all along after we founded the church over there. And so just about anybody and everybody who is a church member is going to be there at that function, except for those who are too far away and they couldn't even come for the Passover, like people who are in Thailand and that kind of sort of thing. But otherwise, they're all going to be there. And of course, here in America, here in Ramona congregation, we'll do it the same way. We are going to meet in a restaurant, and then others, of course, they might get together, two or three families or whatever, at a certain house, which is totally fine. But I like to mention that, let's say, if you are alone, all by yourself, or if you are just a married couple, but you're all alone. Now, this is something which I have been taught, and that's how I have felt, and so that's what I believe, just giving you what I believe. It may not be the best idea to just stay at home that night. It would be better to, because it's a special occasion, to go out. Let's say go out to a restaurant and have a meal there. I'm saying that because staying at home may not actually have the same kind of an impact for this very critical and important occasion. We should think about coming out of sin as Israel came out of Egypt. Now, it's not a command, understand that, when it comes to the days of unleavened bread, but when it comes to the Feast of Tabernacles, that is a command. In other words, you're supposed to leave your houses during this time. Now, I know that some people, then they are close to the feast site, may say, oh, we'll just stay at home, and then we go to the feast site, and we come back, and go the next day to the feast site. No, that's not permitted, according to the Bible. And so that is commanded, absolutely. We have in Germany people who are very close to our feast site, living there, but they still leave their houses, and they come to the feast site, and they stay there the entire time, because that is what is commanded. I just wanted to mention that to you. It's something to think about. To make that a special occasion, but it is commanded. It's not something which we can just ignore and say, oh, well, not too much observed. Who cares about that? You know, I don't want to go. I don't want to have a meal. So we'll just do our daily kind of, you know, way of life. That's not the way it works. Okay, going back to the update, the editorial was written by Paul Niehoff. Faith is the key. I personally feel that is an outstanding, excellent editorials. You definitely should read it if you haven't. I just want to quote a few sections from it. He writes, "We hear ideas like, if you don't get vaccinated, you could kill grandma, or no one is safe until everyone is safe. All of this is playing on people's emotions to increase their level of fear and get them to comply with government requirements. A little later, so as well as COVID, it also includes man-made climate change and the possibility of President Putin causing Russia to invade Europe. And so he goes into all of these fears and those fear mongers and the idea like, well, you got to do what the government is telling you to do. But then a little later he's writing, we see that in this world, governments and organizations use fear as a key to get people to comply with their directives without questioning, whereas we are to use faith as a key to remember God's promises and prophecies to enable us to understand what is happening and trust God to encourage us and strengthen us as we live through difficult times. And that is a very wise and very apropos recommendation and statement. Because we are living, most certainly, in extremely perilous and difficult times, and our current events is going into many of these situations. Of course, we are talking about the solar eclipse and the coming of Christ, and I talked about this already last time, and that message is posted. Well, the solar eclipse came and went. Christ isn't here yet, right? I mean, this was nonsense from the outset, this whole concept, this whole idea, because things will still have to happen. And they haven't happened yet. And so we shouldn't expect the return of Christ unless these things have happened. So we need to watch to see how developments go on and how they are in accordance with biblical prophecy. Of course, you need to know biblical prophecy. You have to have the spirit of prophecy as you read the book of Revelation. Many think they understand prophecy and don't, and come up with all kinds of ideas, and they are all not biblical whatsoever. We also talk about the German Bundeswehr becoming war ready and other interesting articles in that regard. Most Germans want a EU army. They want to have compulsory military service, and we have a standing watch out there. And this is in Germany and in America, in other words, in German and in English, because there's another interesting aspect to it, which the Standing Watch program goes into. The title of the English program is The Germans Have Lost Their Minds. The German title is Die Deutschen haben den Verstand verloren. It means the same thing. The summary goes like this. A dance performance at the beginning of a Good Friday service of the German Protestant Church, which was broadcast on public television, and which resembled demonic possession and an exorcism. An increasing desire to become a military power and to reinstate compulsory military service. What is going on in Germany? Have Germans literally gone mad? Question mark. If you haven't watched the program in English or in German, if you speak German, I strongly recommend you do. Like to ask you a question. So the English Standing Watch program has received by now 360 views. Guess how many views we got for the German of Postenstein? Any idea? 3,900 the last time I looked. So I mean that's the difference between the interest here and the interest over there. Americans seem to be interested in America, and that's about it. Now, the program also included the latest ad, which Michaeling did, this short, brief advertisement clip. And looking at that, the American viewers, or the views for the American ad, was 700. The views for the German ad was how many? What do you think? Anybody? Any idea? Just give me a figure. How much? 8,300. So it shows you again the difference. And I mean, it's just amazing. Amazing too is the fact that when it comes to the advertisement campaign here, the advertisement campaign which we do on Google is going very well for the English one. We are, of course, having the fall and rise of the Jewish people. And Joanna just sent to Margaret today the latest requests. And of course, I'm sure that she panicked when she saw that. How many?
35,
just for the couple of days. So, I mean, that's going very well. I mean, you can make the math and you find out if that's how much we get about every other day. It's quite a bit. So that's why we had to reprint those booklets. And we'll have to see how this is going. But now, having said that, I'd like to go back to the update. Because in our update in the current events, we have also an article which, of course, is now extremely relevant, I believe. I'd like to read you the headline. It says, Israel prepared to strike Iran's nuclear site? And it says that a Western security official has revealed that Israel will respond to any attacks by striking Iran's nuclear targets directly. It says there is no way to tell exactly how Iran would respond to an attack on its nuclear sites or whether either country would resort to actually dispatching nuclear weapons. And that's why you hear a lot about the fear of World War III and nuclear war. Now, you might have heard that the world now is on high alert, and the concept is, and here's one article I have by Bloomberg dated April 12th, that Iran will attack Israel at any time. It could be as early as today. It could be tomorrow. But the feeling is it's going to happen. Now, in the meantime, there was a ship which was seized by Iranian forces. And, of course, it was an act of piracy. And, of course, this ship was owned ultimately by a Jewish billionaire. But they say that this may not be this kind of attack everybody expects. But as we have just heard, if Iran attacks Israel, maybe I should say when, how is Israel going to respond? And if they're going to respond by attacking Iran's nuclear arsenal, then what is Iran going to do? So it's going to be an extremely highly volatile situation. Germany has already been telling their people get out of Iran right away. Other countries have said be extremely careful when you are there to see what is going on. But everybody expects that war. Now let me just say this. That is not the war. That is not going to be World War III. That's not going to be the Great Tribulation yet, because other things will have to happen first. That's what people are all wrong about. They don't know where to look. They have to look at what's happening in Europe. They have to look what's happening in Germany. Unless you have a core group of 10 nations, or groups of nations in Europe giving their authority, giving their power to the beast, that beast that has to arrive, you know, that's when the Great Tribulation starts, not prior to that. But we do also find in the Bible that it says that Israel will receive a wound before the Great Tribulation is going to start. And so that's why the events over there in the Middle East at this point are of significance. And we should most certainly watch them very carefully. A ridiculous decision was made, and we talk about this in our update. Heat waves are linked to climate change, and two senior ladies won a lawsuit. It says it's the first ever climate case victory in the European Court of Human Rights because allegedly Switzerland didn't do enough to combat man-made global warming and man-made climate change. And so because of the heat waves, which are linked to climate change, those senior citizens are specifically affected, and so they won a lawsuit. Where is this nonsense going to end? Something you have to just ask yourself. But I'd like to talk a little bit about one other issue here, and that is abortion. Now, we have an article in here about Trump's changed position on abortion. You might have heard about this. For a while, he had been talking about that the federal law should create a situation where it would be a uniform decision as to when abortion is to be allowed and when it's prohibited. Now he backpedaled on that one, and he said, no, I'm not going to have a national ban on abortion. It's all supposed to be done by the state. So every state is supposed to decide on their own as to whether to allow abortion and in what regards. And of course, there are some conservative states, they are strictly limited on the issue, and others, liberal states, they just allow it for any and no reason. sometimes even all the way up until the time of birth and even beyond. Now, this article, we quoted Axios, April 8, says here that the SBA Pro-Life America, the leading anti-abortion group, said in a statement that we are deeply disappointed in President Trump's position. Former Vice President Mike Pence went a step further, saying in a statement, Trump's retreat on the right to life is a slap in the face to the millions of pro-life Americans who voted for him in 2016 and 2020. Doug Stafford, chief strategist for Senator Rand Paul, tweeted, I am not sure a major candidate has ever produced a worse statement on life than the one I just watched. And then Lindsey Graham said, I respectfully disagree with the former president. Now, Trump lashed out at Graham and SBA President Marjorie Dannenfelser on two social Monday afternoon, arguing that Republicans who are unrelenting on abortion are handing Democrats their dream of the House, the Senate, and perhaps even the presidency. Now, we have some comments we make here at the end of this article, but before I go into that, just like to say that Newsmax reported on April 12 that former President Donald Trump Friday called on the Arizona legislature and governor to act as fast as possible to remedy this week's state's Supreme Court ruling upholding a 160-year-old pre-statehood law completely banning abortion in the state. So now the governor and the Arizona legislature must use heart, common sense, and act immediately to remedy what has happened, he said, and confirmed again that it should be the states and not the nation, not the federal government, to make those decisions. What we see here is that it's not so much the issue who's right and who's wrong. It's the issue how to win an election, how to get votes. And his position, Trump's position, was very clear. Oh, if you don't do it that way, we might lose to the Democrats. Now, of course, at one time, Trump was pro-choice. We all know that. When he was still a Democrat, then he became a Republican, then he became pro-life, sort of, possibly because of the influence by evangelicals. To me, this was another example why we as true Christians cannot, must not have anything to do with politics. It is disgusting. It is absolutely shameful and undignified what's going on here. So let's talk about abortion a little bit. What should the position of a true Christian be? Never mind those politicians which change their opinions like they put on a new shirt anytime they look into the mirror. Now, we have said very clearly that human life starts with conception. Now, you might want to define conception. I know there are different definitions as to what conception is, when conception starts and all that. But whatever the definition is, conception would be the time when human life is created. I use this term with meaning, created. Because we also understand that when there is human life, when human life begins, at that time, God gives that person a spirit. It's called the human spirit. You wouldn't have a human being without the human spirit. The human spirit distinguishes a human from an animal. Now, we don't know exactly how God does that. Is it going to be kind of an automatic process? Is it kind of part of the genes and everything which come together? Or is it perhaps a direct intervention? Think in terms of baptism. When you are baptized, and I'm talking about properly baptized as an adult, being put into the watery grave, coming out of the watery grave, that's not enough. You see, you're not being baptized and receive the Holy Spirit by just getting into the water and coming out of the water. Something more has to happen. What has to happen? Well, a minister has to lay his hands on the person, prays to God that God would give this individual very specifically and individually the Holy Spirit. And God would do that. And only then does the person become a spiritually begotten child of God. Now, in passing, many times in the past, I know this, people have been baptized. And all what happened was, oh, they were baptized, I'm baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that was it. Did the people receive the Holy Spirit? I doubt it. Because in the Bible, it's very clear that people did not receive the Holy Spirit until the apostles came to lay their hands on the persons. And that's when the Holy Spirit was given. That may explain, perhaps, why we had so many people leave the church over the years. Not only were they not converted, they might not have received the Holy Spirit in the first place. Now, God in his mercy might still have given the Holy Spirit to those people because they did the best they could, but today it would be absolutely wrong to do a baptism in that way. And also to baptize somebody in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that is also not the way a baptism should be conducted. But here's my point. God does individually intervene and give the Holy Spirit to the person. Why would we not believe that God is doing exactly the same thing when a human being is being conceived? Now, if you have human life, and then you abort that human life, that's murder. When I hear about these discussions, pro-choice, pro-life, I hear about the right of the woman, the right of the woman to her body. The woman has the right to declare and decide how to use her body. What about the right of the unborn child? You never hear anything about that right, at least not by those who are pro-choice. But let's talk about those who are pro-life. Okay, well, they are against abortion except, and then there are exceptions. Rape being one exception. There are other exceptions. That's fine. Well, is it fine? Is it fine in the eyes of God if it's human life? Does anybody have the right to take away that human life, no matter what the circumstances are? We had several months ago an article in our current events where a woman was supposed to be aborted because the mother had been raped. And the woman was not aborted because the mother said, no, I'm not going to abort my child. And this woman became an extremely well-known figure. I think she was even running for some kind of a political office. And she said, but look about that. See, I'm married now, I have children. If I would have been aborted because of that quote-unquote exception, I wouldn't be here. My children wouldn't be here. You know, you got to think this through. Is there any exception justifiable in the eyes of God? My position is no. It's human life, and you're taking it away, no matter what. No matter what. So all of those who are pro-life and say, yeah, but we have to have some exceptions, why? Well, because of the votes. They should look into the Bible. They should consider as to what the Bible says about it, as to what God says about it. Not what other politicians say about it, not what governments say about it, not what human reasoning says about it. So anyway, I wanted to give you that thought in line of all these politicians out there, and I don't care who they are, coming up with all these kind of concepts because they want to stay in power or they want to become powerful people. The sermon, by the way, on the first day of unleavened bread goes a little bit into that too. You might want to remember what I said now, and then you will see what I'm saying in that sermon on the first day of unleavened bread. Let's go back to the update. Q&A, written by Mr. Dave Harris, are Christians required to observe the Passover? First, he is talking about the distinction between what the Bible says and what the Catholic Church teaches. The Catholic Church is teaching that when you partake of the bread and the wine actually turns into the blood and the flesh of Jesus Christ. It's a so-called Eucharist concept. It's a wrong concept. It's completely false. So he's talking about that. And of course, then he's talking about the reason why, quote-unquote, Christianity has done away with the Passover. Mainly because of anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic feelings. So they have replaced the Passover then with Easter. Now, the Jews still keep the Passover, except they keep it on the wrong day. They keep the Passover at the time when actually the night to be much observed should be kept. So, in a sense, the Jews do not keep the Passover anymore today either. Anyhow, so this article then goes into the new symbols Christ has enacted, the foot washing, the bread and the wine, and, you know, it's a good, good refresher, so please make sure you read it also in preparation for the Passover, which is not that far away. When it comes to the work section, we are talking about the Standing Watch program and the Auf Postenstehen program, which have been posted. A new member letter has been posted and mailed to our subscribers. And this member letter goes into the incredible opportunity we as Christians have to reach out to our Father in prayer. That member letter was written by Mr. Gale. And quite frankly, I'd like to take a moment now to quote a few excerpts from the member letter. He says, "It can be so easy to pray our Father at the beginning of the model prayer without fully understanding just how incredible those two words are. When we consider the marvelous creative process that our Father has instituted, and that that same marvelous being is central to everything we do, how can we not be amazed that we individually are just one in 8 billion people on planet Earth at this time, but that we belong to the ones who can have instant access to our Father at any time?" So, I'm sure we all pray to our Father. We might all start our prayers with our Father. Make sure that we understand what that means. Let's not use it as a vain repetition, because we are just using that without thinking about it, thinking about the deep meaning of these two words. Our next project, the German translation of our English booklet, Should You Fight in War?, has been sent to graphic artist Jerry Bruno in preparation for printing. Of course, that would be the second German booklet in a row. We have finished the one on the youth. But you see, in light of the fact that in Germany there's more and more discussion regarding compulsory military service, and most Germans now are in favor of compulsory military service, I believe that booklet is extremely important and extremely relevant, and I hope that many people are willing to read it. That's another problem. You know, many may not want to read it because they don't want to hear what the Bible has to say about these things. Michael Link's sermon for this week, the German sermon, in English it would be called Only God Can Really Help You. In German, Nur Gott kann Ihnen wirklich helfen, was listened to today. It's already posted, and so we also have posted Andreas Rätz's last week's sermonette. The title in English was Seize the Opportunity. And then we also have posted the sermonette by Paul Niehoff from last week, Two Mule Loads of Earth. By the way, an interesting sermonette as well, I thought, especially in light of what he said about the earth, which that person from Syria wanted to take with him. That's an interesting concept. Why did he ask for that? So he explains it very well, I thought, in the sermonette. And then, of course, we have the other comments made by myself from last week on the coming of Christ. And, of course, Brian Gale's sermon from last week, Women and the Ministry, all of that has been posted. So these are actually most of the things I want to say. I have a few more things. And that is, even though we are not going to have an update next week, the news are still and is still ongoing. So I just want to inform you about a new law which has just been enacted in Germany. It's called the gender law, or to be very specific, it is called the self-determination law. And that's what the Germans have come up with. You know, if I would have had that, I would have used that for the Standing Watch program, had the Germans gotten mad. But of course, that came after I did the program. From November 1, 2024, anyone can have their gender changed by the authorities every 12 months. By a simple oral declaration. Everyone 18 and old. So I feel this year, oh, I'm going to be a woman now. So I go in, I say, okay, I'm going to be a woman. Okay, I'm a woman. I have to wait a year. Oh, no, wait a minute, that wasn't a good idea. So I go back, no, now I'm a man again. Right? So I'm going to be changed again as a man. Year later, no, wait a minute, no, that's not good. So I go back and I want to become a woman. And on it goes. I mean, have you ever heard such craziness? That is what is happening in a country which is completely and totally void of spiritual understanding. I'd like to mention one other thing. You've heard about Boris Johnson, right? Boris Johnson seems to be gone. Well, let's not be too quick and too sure about that, because there's more and more information, specifically in British papers, that he is planning his comeback. And he's planning his comeback in a very powerful way. Now, Boris Johnson warned Donald Trump, and I felt that was interesting. The Sun wrote on April 12th. Boris Johnson warned Donald Trump he will not make America great again if Ukraine falls to Vladimir Putin. He spoke against a reported plan to pressure Kyiv to cede Crimea and the Donbass border region as a peace prize, he told a conservative event in Canada. If you are the party of Ronald Reagan, if you want to make America great again, then you do not begin a new Republican presidency by conceding victory to Vladimir Putin. It would be a disaster for the West, and it would be a disaster for America, he said. He may be right, but we look at this from a biblical perspective, from a biblical prophecy perspective. And we know, biblical prophecy tells us that Ukraine will be handed over to Russia, and that's going to be a combination between Russia and Ukraine, and they will be combined. And then they will act towards Germany and Europe in a hostile way. And our free booklet on the fall and rise of Germany and Europe goes into all of that. Americans probably should wake up a little bit to what is happening, and they should ask for our booklet. Happy to send it to them, free of charge. Unfortunately, most don't feel important. I mean, the number one issue, which they even say is the number one issue when it comes to the election, it's not even the abortion issue. It's a border. So you turn programs on, all you ever hear is about the border. And what is happening in the rest of the world, you hardly hear anything. And if you do, you hear a very short clip, and then you have all these experts talking and blabbering and commenting as to what they feel is going to happen, and that's going to be such a boring exercise. After a few minutes, I turn it off. Can't even hear it anymore. It is just so absolutely annoying as to what the newscasts in this country, whether it's left or right, doesn't matter what they are producing. And of course, it's interrupted every 5 minutes with 10-minute advertisement in between. So that's the world we are living in, and we should realize that. And that's why most Americans now, interestingly enough, do not trust the media anymore. It used to be different. Now the majority don't even trust them anymore. And I don't blame them. I don't trust them either. At least not the reports which we are receiving from the mainstream media.